of At the Movies. It is our family day experience. We hear some noise from our families out there. For everybody out there, glad to have you this morning. If you guys do not know me, I am Paul. I am Pastor Paul. I am the children's pastor along with my wife, Lori. We have the pleasure of being the children's pastors for the past 18 years. And it's just a joy, really exciting to be able to work into the younger lives. And so just spending time together. And so we are continuing our At the Movies. And so we are learning valuable Bible lessons and using movies to illustrate the points of our lessons during this month of October. And so if you guys enjoyed it so far, we had a good time. We had Pastor Ben week number one, Pastor Kirby week number two. And so I get to kind of follow up with them. And so as we do that, I will encourage you to invite somebody. Next week is our finale as we do At the Movies. And so next week we will have week number four. And sadly, the popcorn machine will go back until next year and all that. And so but get your fill of popcorn as it's there. And so I have a little trivia for you. You guys know we do trivia, so I get the fun of doing some. And so I've done Disney Pixar over the years. I did one last year as we did that. And so I have a Disney Pixar trivia. We're going to listen to a clip of this music. I want you guys to call it out if you know what this movie is. They play this sound clip. Y'all know it? We are going. Ah, there it is. Call it out if you know it. How many of you guys said Inside Out? All right. I can cut that. I will tell you, I've been listening to this clip. This music is like, every time I hear it, I'm humming this tune now as I've watched Inside Out in the past. And so our movie for today is no secret. It is Inside Out 2. Who had a chance to see Inside Out 2 this past summer? Anybody out there? And so I have some trivia. So kind of as we set up for Inside Out 2, y'all can cut that music whenever y'all are done. We have a few things we'll bring up. And so I ask you guys a few questions from Inside Out. So first of all, what is the name of the young girl who's the main character in Inside Out movie? Riley, nice. And so we got a picture of Riley there. All right, who can tell me this? We need a little harder. What state was Riley born in? Minnesota, that's correct, Minnesota. All right, Riley moved. They moved to the first movie. What city did they move to? They moved from Minnesota. What city? Shout it out if you know. Anybody have it? It is San Francisco. That is correct. All right. A little harder. Tell you a little bit. What is the name of the hockey team that Riley played for in San Francisco? Foghorns. You guys are too good. All right. And so, kind of bring you up to speed just to show. There were five emotions in that first movie. And so, we're going to put them up one at a time. And you kind of name them. This is Joy. There you go. The next one. Sadness. All right. Next one. You guys are so good. All right. Get a little harder. Fear. And not last but not least. Disgust. Kind of like disgust as you watch the movie. All right. One bonus question. What was the name of Riley's imaginary friend in the original Inside Out movie? Bing Bong. You guys are like pros at this. Y'all been studying. All right, so listen, I'll tell you a little bit. My original plans for this movie was actually for you guys, and you get the joy of, we're going to share it together, because I was actually doing a Kid Zone, and I was about, I don't know, 3/4 of the way through it, and God laid on my heart that this was meant for our family movie. And so I'm going to encourage you guys. I know you go, it's a cartoon movie. God's going to bring some stuff out for this, and there's going to be some points we talk about. And so as we watch the movie, I want you to just pull some of the stuff from it. Let God speak to your heart as we share what the Bible says and points, but also watching clips of the movie, because God wants to do something and speak to you in the message in our movie today, all right? Let's check out our opening clip.
Play some hockey! This is Joy, coming to you live in Riley's mind, and we are expecting a great championship today with a foghorn! Riley fans, get up on your feet and make some noise!
Go, go, go! Let's go, Foghorns!
Bring it in! Foghorns on three! One, two, three!
Foghorns!
gear and fresh from the penalty box, it's Riley's anger.
You let me at him.
Helmet, pads, gloves, safety checklist is complete. It should be nothing but smooth sailing from here. Ah, look out!
And that's fear, keeping Riley on her toes.
We gotta get our mouth guard, people.
No, 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 no! That's not Everest! And that, folks, is the infamous disgust. Glad to have her on our team.
28, Anderson, tripping!
Oh, no.
And bringing up the rear, you know her, you love her, the one, the only...
Oh, we got a penalty.
That's right, Katniss is in the house.
Yay.
Anderson goes to the box 2 minutes for tripping.
Okay, looks like we have a couple of minutes while Riley takes a breather. Let me catch you up. Riley is still exceptional.
Ta-da!
Oh, and not just because she's the top of her class, which, by the way, she is.
Riley, over here!
She's also really kind. And she's nice to stray cats. I mean, come on. Oh, and she's officially a teenager now. She got very tall, very fast.
Did we grow overnight?
Oh, that was our favorite shirt.
We even got braces with extra rubber bands.
How does it feel?
Great!
Ow.
Sorry.
Riley's personality islands are still going strong.
Glad to see Boy Band Island finally broke up.
But Goofball is still monkeying around.
But where's Family Island?
It's right there.
Oh, there it is. What's that blocking it?
Oh, that's Friendship Island. Isn't it amazing? But we realized her islands aren't the only things made by memories. Way down at the root level, these memories were also creating beliefs.
Homework should be illegal. Genevieve Glow is the best band ever.
And my personal favorite?
I'm a really good friend.
Did you know the change in your couch could change the world? Oh, no!
Oh, no. We should do something.
No, that girl is a social Titanic. Do not get on that ship.
Guys?
Oh,
it's okay. I drop things all the time. I'm Riley. I'm Grace.
I'm Bree.
Turns out when you put all of those beliefs together, they make the most wonderful thing of all. Her sense of self.
I'm a good person.
It's what helps Riley make good choices. 13 years of hard work all wrapped up in what some might call our masterpiece. You know, one of the hardest challenges we found... Oh my gosh, we're back in the game!
We're tied!
How are we going to score on time?
Oh, we use our slap shot!
No, 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 we charge the goalie.
But Grace hasn't scored yet.
Riley's got this.
Thread the needle!
Come on, Riley.
And so our movie today opens up with a chance to get to know this young lady we met in Inside Out, the first movie. She was only 11 years old at the end of the last movie, and so she's become a teenager. And so we're all familiarized with emotions that were in the control room of her mind as she goes along and grows through her life. And so you had joy, anger, fear, disgust, sadness, emotions we all could probably identify in each of our lives, right? And so now Joy. Joy is the leader of the bunch, and she's energetic and positive emotion who wants Riley's life to be filled with exciting, fun, and happy times. And, of course, each of the other four emotions, they each play a part, much as they do in our own life, different emotions. And so we may remember some of it from the first movie, but as we watch the sequel today, you'll see how they play different parts in this one as well. And so I have a quick thought question for us today. Who would say that joy is an emotion that is a big part of your own life? Think about that for a second. Is it, as we get older, I will say this, as I get older, we'll talk about that, there's a part in there, but you know, as we get older, as we become adults, a lot of times that joy, we find other things that fill it. And so it's exciting to have the kids here. I'll tell you, when they come in and see them, you get joy, you know, when you kind of, you don't suppress it with other things that you fill in life with. And so the Bible has lots to say about joy, and with good reason. So we're going to start off by discovering our big idea for today. As part of the Bible verse, we're going to see in the book of Nehemiah. Now the people of Israel, they were rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. And it had been torn down by the enemies because the Israelites, they had turned away from God. They had disbanded and weren't following what God had told them. But Nehemiah came and he rallied the people together. And he asked them to return to God and to restore the wall that had been knocked down. In Nehemiah chapter 8, Ezra the priest had been instructed to read to the people what the book of the law of God had to tell them. And when the people heard the law, they realized their lives were not following God the way they should have. And they were not doing the right way. It saddened them. They were like, oh. But Nehemiah and the leaders, instead, he wanted the people to have a different understanding of what knowing the law meant for them. It was about their heart. And so here's what the Bible tells us. Nehemiah chapter 8, looking at verse 9, we'll read it together. It says, then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, which is interesting. But it says this, check what's underlined. For today is a sacred day before the Lord your God. For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. We could say the people had good reason to weep, right? They realized we weren't following God. They were not doing the things that God called them to do. But what's interesting, Nehemiah turned the script on it. He's like, we're going to give you something different to think about. He encouraged them not to be sad on the day because he wanted them to be reminded instead of how much God loves them and how he had chosen them to be his own people. And so here's how Nehemiah addressed their sadness in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. And it says, and Nehemiah continued, go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be rejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That last part of that verse, that's the basis for our big idea for today. It's simply this. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Take a moment. Take a moment and speak that to yourself. Speak it out loud. Say, the joy of, make it personal. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Because there's strength in the joy that God gives to you and I. And so with the encouragement of the lives, how did the Israelite people then react? Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 12 says this. So the people went away to eat and drink. And share, drink at a festive meal, share gifts of food, and to celebrate with great joy because they had heard God's words. That is right up my alley. Sharing a meal, right up my alley. They celebrate though with great joy. And what that also means for you and I is that when we have the joy of the Lord in our own lives, we're able to stand strong in knowing God loves us, God forgives us, God calls us his own. He gives us joy in knowing that God sent Jesus to save you and I and make us right with him. That brings joy because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so we're reminded, you know, Galatians 5:22, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is the second one listed there. And so those are the whole bunch. That's a whole nother message in itself. But all that flows out of a life when we're connected to God. And joy is certainly in the midst of that. And so at the end of our clip, we saw a sculpture was formed as Riley was living her life, and she began to grow more into the person that she was made to be. Joy called it her sense of self, which helps Riley make good choices. And you and I also have a sense of self. And so as we grow and learn more about life, that sense of self, when we ask Jesus in our lives, and we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and make good choices, the sense of self for you and I is rooted in God. And so we're going to get back to our story from the movie. Riley and her friends, they're soon preparing for high school. And the three of them end up catching the eye of the high school coach who happened to be at the last game, that championship game, winning their hockey game. And they get invited to a hockey skills camp she was having the next day. What an exciting time for this new teenager. And so for our story, we're going to be reminded of this. Riley is starting her teenage years. All my parents with teenagers, if you are a teenager, So within the control room of Riley's mind, Joy is constantly working to establish thoughts in Riley that bring happiness. And you'll notice Riley's memories are represented by that collection of those little balls or marbles. Actually, makes you think about when you lose your marbles. I don't know if that has something to do with it. But Joy wants her to be filled with joy and not worry about all the negative things. So she puts those away. And so in this next movie clip, we see how joy and other emotions help Riley to establish more about who she is and will come and believes about herself, even tosses out a few of those memories that she might want to forget. Let's check it out.
Thanks, I try.
Okay, let's do a sweep. Oh, here's one where she waved at a guy who was actually waving at a girl behind her.
Oh, that was so bad. Good choice.
Oh, here's when she forgot that girl's name.
Oh, yeah, that was super awkward.
What was her name?
I don't know, Janet or something. Whatever, let's just get rid of it. Oh. We keep the best and toss the rest.
Whew. Nice work, everyone.
All right, Anger, the rest of these babies can go to long term. Okay, let's get some shut-eye. Big day tomorrow.
Joy, are you taking that where I think you're taking that?
Wanna come this time?
Yes. I really shouldn't.
You know, you're the only one who hasn't been to the belief system.
Yeah, it's just that it's new, and I know how important it is, and I don't want to mess it up or break it or burn it to the ground or anything.
Sadness, you won't hurt it, I promise. Have I ever steered you wrong before?
Yeah, many times.
Come on. Where I go, you go.
But a goodie.
I'm kind.
Aw, that's nice.
I'm strong.
I'm
brave.
I'm a really good friend.
Beliefs come together to make our Riley.
I'm a good person.
We see Riley and we see Joy. Notice how Joy is working to focus Riley's life on her positive experiences to help her build her belief system. Her motto for the memories, we keep the best and toss the rest. And so, kind of interesting thought. As we go a little bit further, we'll think about, is that always the best? But at the end of the clip, we saw Joy strolling and playing some of the sound bites that were stored in the areas of Riley's belief system. You heard those, Mom and Dad are proud of me. I'm kind. I'm strong. I'm brave. I'm a really good friend. I'm a winner. And so it puts within us, each of us, a challenge. And so let me take a moment. Let me take a moment to look at everybody and just encourage each of them. Let me encourage our parents and our grandparents, teachers, leaders. Anyone, any of us impact the lives of younger people. Even the people that we maybe work with, go to school with, live near, we each have an influence on what is put in our kids and grandkids and family members and those people that are around us. We each have that opportunity to do that. And so don't ever miss an opportunity to put those words that we put in there that Riley got from things. Mom and Dad are proud of me. I'm a good person. And so those belief systems that formed in it. And so you and I have that opportunity to form belief systems in our children, let's say, children, grandchildren, but just people all around us. And so here's a key takeaway point for us in our message today. It's this. Our beliefs will determine how we act and live. Matter of fact, let me give a couple more to add to your beliefs. And it's this. Jesus loves you. You said to yourself, Jesus loves me. You're a child of God. I'm a child of God. And so, a couple more thought questions for each of us as we go a little deeper into this. And so here's the first one. Who or what is building your sense of self? What is it based on? Who is influencing what you believe? What is in your value in yourself? In another statement, what are some statements maybe spoken into your life that make up your belief system? This Bible verse is a great reminder that offers such wisdom. Proverbs 4:23, it says this, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. What we allow in our lives and what we think and believe affects what we do and the amount of joy we have within our life. You know, if we put in the wrong things, it can surely mess us up badly. You know those phrase, garbage in, garbage out, can mess us up. And so we're getting ready to see a shift in Riley as she's now a 13-year-old and she begins to prepare for high school. Life gets a little more complicated. And so some new changes come up, obviously, as she's facing her teenage years and going to challenge what her early sense of self was and her belief system that she had developed up to this point. She finds out as she's heading to hockey camp with her other two friends that where they're going to different high schools next year. And so at the camp, she suddenly runs into this senior hockey team leader who she looks up, Val Ortiz, and she looks up to her. We're going to check out this next clip as Riley faces a new experience at this hockey camp with her friends and is met with more unexpected emotional reactions in her life.
Are you okay?
Everybody act regular. It's Valentina Ortiz.
We got to say something.
Hey. Hi. I'm Val.
I know. You're the varsity captain. You set the all-time goal record as a junior. Your favorite color's red and your skates
are... What are we saying?
You're so uncool.
Why are we still holding her?
Like me.
Oh, you're the one Coach told us about. Riley. From Michigan, right?
It's Minnesota, sweetie.
No. We cannot correct Val Ortiz.
Yeah, that's me. Riley from good old Michigan.
Orange? Who made the console orange?
Do I look orange?
I didn't touch
orange
it.
Orange is not my color.
Not me.
Hello, everybody. Oh, my gosh. I am just such a huge fan of yours. And now here I am meeting you face to face. Okay, how can I help?
I can take notes, get coffee, manage your calendar, walk your dog, carry your things, watch you sleep.
Wow, you have a lot of energy. Maybe you could just stay in one place.
Anything. Just call my name and I'm here for you.
Okay, love that. And what was your name again?
Oh, I'm sorry. I can get ahead of myself. I'm anxiety. I'm one of Riley's new emotions and we are just super jazzed to be here. Where can I put my stuff?
What do you mean we?
I wish I was as tall as all of you.
Who the heck are you?
I'm Envy. Look at your hair. Oh, yeah, not happening.
Look at her hair.
We need hair like that.
Oh, my gosh. I love the red in your hair.
Oh, aren't you? What are you doing?
Hey, maybe when I make the team, I can join Team Redhead, too. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, who's this guy?
What's your name, big fella?
That's embarrassment. He's not really big on eye contact or, good talking, but he's a really sweet guy.
Well, welcome to headquarters, embarrassment.
Oh, we're doing a fit. No. Oh, nope. Going high. Oh, you got a real sweaty palm there, buddy.
Hey, do you want to come with me, actually? You can meet some of the other Firehawks.
Oh, this is exciting, but we can't let her know we're excited.
Yeah, sounds good.
What emotion was that?
That's ennui.
On what?
Ennui. It's what you would call the boredom.
Well, come on up here. Ennui. Am I saying right? Ennui. No. Oh, nicknames. I'm going to call you Wee Wee.
No.
How are you driving?
Console up.
Hey, stop it. That's enough.
Now, I know new emotions can sometimes feel unhelpful at first, and you just want to... Excited of them, why are you so annoying? But I've learned that every emotion is good for Riley. Even this turkey.
Okay, fine.
Cool, lead the way. All right, grab your stuff and follow me.
Oh, but what about our friends?
Val is our future.
Yes, I agree completely. We need new friends or else we'll be totally alone in high school. Right, Joy?
Well, I mean, maybe.
Here we go.
Wait up. Thanks for showing me around.
Wait, why did you do that?
I'm sorry, what did I do?
We just left our best friends behind.
But what about the new ones that we're about to meet?
No, okay. These next 3 days need to be about Bree and Grace.
Joy, the next 3 days could determine the next 4 years of our lives.
Now, I think that's overstating things a bit.
Oh, no, no. Joy is so old school.
What? Look, we all have a job to do. You make Riley happy. Sadness makes her sad. Fear protects her from the scary stuff she can see. And my job is to protect her from the scary stuff she can't see. I plan for the future. Oh, I can show you. You're gonna love this.
Oh, I was using that as a cup holder.
Okay, so my team has run all the data, and we're looking at the following likely scenarios. First, we don't take this camp seriously, and we goof off with Bree and Grace. Riley looks really uncool in front of Val. She fails to impress the coach, does not become a firehawk, and finally arrives at high school. She has no one. She eats alone, and only the teachers know her name.
Ew.
Okay, you and I are going to be friends.
Oh, this is a sad story.
It's a ridiculous story. Look, again, love the energy, but you're being silly. None of this will actually happen.
Right. Whatever you say. You're the boss.
Ah, yes. The teenage years have officially begun in Riley's life. And so, where are teenagers? Where are teenagers out there this morning? How about my parents of teenagers? Those of us who know any teenagers, we can all relate, right? We can relate even in our own lives. It's not just a teenage thing. But suddenly in Riley's teenage life, introduce four new emotions, anxiety, envy, embarrassment, boredom, which in French, ennui. I had to study that a little bit. And so as we saw in the clip, anxiety tends to take the lead role over this group of emotions. And so how quickly, you know, this anxiety jumped in, took over how Riley acts and reacts. How about this quote? I plan for the future. How many of you guys want anxiety? I don't want anxiety planning for my future. But how many of us think that it's a good idea? None of us. But notice how anxiety actually began to go and set up the worst case scenario suddenly for Riley's life. And so this Bible verse in Proverbs tells us something about anxiety. In the NIV version, Proverbs 12:25 says exactly anxiety. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. The New Living Translation takes the word anxiety, uses the word worry. And it says this, worry weighs a person down, an encouraging word cheers a person up. And so we're going to let the word, we'll kind of use a little bit of anxiety, but more worry as we think about it, because it seems like something maybe, we may not say I'm all anxious, but we all have tended to worry about things. And so it gets a focus on this added emotion as we continue on. And so as we think about worry, here's a question I want to ask you guys to think about, is this, what are some things in your life that cause you to worry? We all have things. We each have things that create this worry or anxiety within us. And so the unique circumstances that we face in our lives could affect us differently. We all have things that we go, yes, that does cross my mind. But God never meant for us to be filled with worry. And so, well, Riley, back to our movie, Riley starts hockey camp, and it's a little rough. She's trying to find her place as she prepares to join the ranks of this high school and her teammates, potential teammates, and balance the life that she's lived up to this point. And so we're going to check out this next movie clip and take a look at how Riley's life navigates these new terms. And when anxiety begins to take over in the control room of her mind, what happens?
Great job, anxiety. I step back, you stepped in, you got Riley back on track, now I'm ready to step back in.
But that was just part one of my plan.
There's a part two?
A good plan has many parts, Joy.
Okay, ladies, we're going to form your teams for the rest of camp. Now split yourselves down the middle. Team one on the right, team two on the left.
Let's do this. One more time on the same team, right?
Right.
Val wants us!
But we promised Bree and Grace.
Joy, we have to plan for the future.
Come on, Riley, move. Move those feet. Val's on team one. You want to be on team one? Let's go.
She made a promise to her friends. She's not going to break it.
Oh, you're so right, Joy.
What are you doing? No, you can't have that. Put that back.
Joy, I don't mean to overstep, but it has to be done.
Wait.
I know change is scary, but what?
Excited.
All right, welcome to our team, Michigan.
That is not Riley.
I know. It's a better Riley.
A Riley who won't be alone next year.
We build her a new sense of self. A brand new her.
No, no, no! You can't go down there with that.
Over my dead flaming body.
I am truly sorry. I was so looking forward to working with you guys.
What do you think you're doing?
Get off.
Riley's life is more complex now. It requires more sophisticated emotions than all of you. You just aren't what she needs anymore, Joy.
How dare you, madam?
You can't just bottle us up.
Oh, that's a great idea. It's not forever. It's just until Riley makes varsity or until she turns 18 or maybe forever. I don't know. We'll have to see. Okay, don't worry, Riley. You're in good hands. Now, let's change everything about you.
How do we build a new Riley, which I'm loving, by the way, amazing concept, if it took them 13 years to build the old one?
Well, good news is we're not starting from scratch.
I want to plant one.
Next time.
If I'm a Firehawk, I won't be alone.
Things that could happen, right? Notice how anxiety took the sense of self that Riley established through 13 years and simply tossed it out and began the process of forming a new Riley. But as anxiety began to try to take over and change, Joy quickly commented, "That is not Riley." But anxiety and envy respond. They said, "I know it's a better Riley, a Riley who won't be alone next year." Anxiety even goes on to say that Joy is no longer needed. In the quote, she says, "You just aren't what she needs anymore, Joy." It's what anxiety does. It tells us, we're going to put this away. Let's fill it with this. And so what a sad point in our lives when we let anxiety or our worries begin to take over our lives and thoughts and crowd out our joy. It's what it does. And so it brings us to a second key takeaway point, and is this. Worry is a key enemy to joy in our lives. Think about that for a second. And so Jesus offers some teachings to his disciples, of something we probably have heard before. And it's recorded in the books of Matthew and Luke, and he was reminding them not to worry about things. Money, possessions, what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear. Everyday things in our lives that could worry us. And he asked his disciples this question, found in Luke 12:25. It said this, "Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?" And then Jesus reminded them how God takes care of the birds and the flowers, and they don't worry about anything. So there's no reason for us to worry about whether God will take care of us, because he will. And so this additional verse written by the Apostle Paul to the Philippian church gives us some more instructions how we should deal with worry. Philippians 4:6 very pointedly says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done." When we stop and really think about all that God has given us and we begin to thank him, it then helps us to focus on his goodness, and it'll crowd out our worries. So for our next movie clip, let me give you a little more setup. I skip over a lot. I'll tell you, if you guys, you know, the movie is I didn't capture just a small part of it, so I would encourage you maybe to watch the whole thing at some point, because there's a lot of great nuggets in there. Very creative. But in the story, anxiety continues to take over of the thoughts and the mindset of Riley, working to continue to influence her sense of self, her belief system, and Riley begins to work to fit in with her new hockey teammates that she's hoping to be a part of. Meanwhile, Joy and her set, they're going through all throughout her mind. They're trying to get back to the control room that they've been kicked out of after they were sent away by anxiety. And their goal is just to get there so they can establish. They want to reestablish what they had set up in her life and not let anxiety just take off and do whatever anxiety wants to do. And so after facing challenge after challenge, Joy and the friends, they end up running across an unexpected room that anxiety is tucked away to influence the thoughts that Riley has coming up. Let's check out the clip.
Now, the team found Danny was right up to the goal. Great. We
We need to help Riley prepare. Now's the time to send up every possible thing that could go wrong. We are looking to the future. Every possible mistake she could make. Come on, 17. I'm not seeing anything from you. Riley misses an open goal. Coach writes about her notebook. Yes! More like that.
Oh, no. They're using Riley's imagination against her.
Val and her friends like us now. But if we don't make the team, will they like us tomorrow? Okay, let's go to number 3. Bree and Grace's team win, and we look stupid. Number 22, Val passes to us, and we miss it.
We can't let her do this to Riley. We have to shut this down.
Love at 37. Riley hits the puck into her own net.
Why are you drawing a hippo?
I'm drawing Riley.
Joy, you forgot her ponytail.
Oh, I love her ponytail. Yes.
Riley scores and everyone hugs her. 81. That is not helping.
Riley paints her nails to match her jersey. Everybody copies her, and she is so cool.
Riley wears knee pads.
We buy flowers for the losing team. What? I can't always be the rage guy.
No, I liked it.
Nail polish knee pads? I'm starting to think you guys don't understand the assignment. What? What? Who sent that projection to Riley?
Why would I know?
What is going on? Who is sending all of this positive?
Joy, I know you're in there.
The mind police are on their way.
Well, I think we gave it our best shot.
Don't listen to anxiety. She's using these horrible projections to change Riley.
Joy, I'm doing this for you. This is all so Riley can be happier.
If you wanted her to be happy, then you'd stop hurting her. Who's with me? Really? Nothing?
Sorry, Joy.
Yeah, I see you, 87. A cat. A little off topic, but I'll take it. Who else? Come on!
What if Riley is better than Val and then Val hates her?
Or what if Riley is better than Val and Val respects her? Yeah! There we go.
What if Riley is so bad she has to give up hockey forever?
What if Riley does so well that the coach cries and the Olympics call and she rallies a weary nation to victory?
Joy, reality is also a thing.
No!
Anxiety has got you all chained to desks, drawing nightmares, but you don't have to take it anymore.
Pencils down, projections off.
Yeah! Enough is enough! Oh, my projections!
Kill off my...
Wow, I'm watching that again. It just makes me think about all the things that anxiety puts into you and I. Notice how anxiety and joy are complete opposites that cannot exist together. Anxiety began to realize that joy is in the projection room, right? Based on the positive outcome, that projection started to be submitted. And how about this quote of wisdom from Joy? It said, don't listen to anxiety. She's using these horrible projections to change Riley. And they get in this verbal volley and anxiety. What if Riley's better than Val and then Val hates her? And Joy, what if Riley's better than Val and Val respects her? Anxiety, what if Riley's so bad she has to give up hockey forever? Joy, what if Riley does so well the coach cries and the Olympics call and she rallies a weary nation to victory? I can't help but enjoy some of the mannerisms as well with anger. There is such a thing as righteous anger. And he's gave us this great quotable quote in there. Is that anxiety's got you all chained to desk drawing nightmares? But you don't have to take it anymore. Let that sink in for a moment. Anxiety will it will hold us down and put stuff in our minds that it will just try to control us. You and I don't have to let worry and anxiety control our thoughts. And so following up on our verse from Philippians 4:6 that reminds us not to worry, to pray, to tell God what we need and to thank him. Paul gives us a then and a final thing. This is found in Philippians 4:7-8. It says, then you experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one, here's a final thing. Fix your thoughts. We know this. We hear 8 things that he gives us. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. When you and I, when we fix our thoughts on those things that are those things, it overrules the worry that may come up in our minds. Romans 12:2 is a verse. It's a great partner to this as well. It says this: don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know to learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That illustrates our third key takeaway point, and that's this: let God change the way you think. Only God can change the way we think. We have to train our minds through the power of God and think the way that God intends for our life, to fix our thoughts on things that are above. Because God has way bigger things than what the devil would want for us and what the enemy would want for us. And so training our minds not to worry is a daily task. Our enemy, the devil, he's a liar. He loves to use words and thoughts for them to keep us down. And after all, his main strategy is to redirect our thoughts from God's good plan for us. Let's take a look at this next brief clip in which a lie enters Riley's mind through what is planted by anxiety.
We have the sense of self.
Bring us back. Sadness, you copy.
I'm not good enough.
Okay, I can work with this. I just need to recalibrate the console and make sure it's ready. Just no more surprises.
Those words in your own mind, I'm not good enough. Notice how that thought was planted by anxiety, so it grew to disrupt and tear apart Riley's sense of self and belief system that had previously been established in her. And she just abandoned joy in the process. But here's the fact. The fact is that none of us are good enough on our own. It is only because of God's love for us that we are good enough. Because he is the one that places the value in our lives. There's a statement that Joy had in the movie right before the next clip, and we didn't have room to put it in there. But she spoke so much in the reality, and it's this. She said, I don't know how to stop anxiety. Maybe we can't. Maybe this is what happens when you grow up. You feel less joy. Kind of goes back to what I was saying. As we get older, sometimes less joy. We fill our minds with so many things, and we just have things that crowd out the joy that we once knew. But that's not God's intention for us as we grow up. God wants joy in our lives through all of our years. It just sometimes takes some work to keep joy where it belongs in our life as we grow. And so Riley is now at the last day of the hockey camp, and she's looking to leave a strong impression on the coach and show what she could do and make the team. And so all of the thoughts in her head that are created by anxiety to establish this new sense of self in her, it begins to weigh on her. And so in her desperation to get noticed, she becomes overly aggressive on the hockey ice, and she gets a foul and gets sent to the penalty box. And as she sits in the penalty box, A mountain of anxious thoughts begin to flood her mind, causing stress. Anxiety desperately is trying to work out a solution, but Joy finally makes it back to the control room of Riley's mind to do what Joy does best. Let's check out this final clip, see how it works out in the mind of Riley in the end.
You don't get to choose who Riley is. Anxiety? You need to let her go.
But you're right. We don't get to choose who Riley is.
We keep the best and toss the rest.
Riley, you okay?
Yeah. I mean, no. I was such a jerk to you guys. When you guys told me you were going to a different school, I freaked out. And I'm so sorry. If you don't want to be friends anymore, I get it. But I really hope that you can forgive me. Someday.
We've got a game to finish.
Joy, Riley wants you.
You would have to want joy. Our life is the sum of experience that we face, good and bad. Even the negative experiences of our life make up who we are and become. And God takes it all and calls it to do all the work for His purposes and our good. We don't usually think about trials in our life and associate joy with them. But the Bible does remind us in James 1:2, and the NIV version says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." And so notice in the clip how Joy at the end, she wrapped around this new sense of self that Riley was forming. And then joining in with the other emotions. But Joy brought everything together and settling Riley's worries. Joy at the center of it and brings that together. And so as a parting message, we saw the friendship of the three best friends as they were renewed right at the end of the clip. And that points us to a great verse in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. It says this: "A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need." And so I leave this one final takeaway point for this, is that you and I need others to share our lives with. God has given us others to help in this life on earth. We're not meant to live life alone or to face the challenges we face all alone. And as I said before the last clip, on our own, we are not good enough. It is all because of Jesus that we are made right with God. Be reminded, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We especially see a wonderful picture of that as that clip wrapped up and Joy was reestablished, taking over the controls of Riley's life. And I wrap up this last verse, Philippians 4:4. "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice." We all could use joy. We could find lots of things that the enemy would bring against us, anxiety, worry, filling our minds. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so we may try to find it in different ways, but only God gives us the true joy we look for and need. That joy is found in Jesus in our life, because without Jesus, we truly are not good enough. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you today, God. Lord, people out there all throughout the room, God, we're battling with maybe things that are joy or worry, anxiety, and they fill our minds, wondering if we're good enough. But God, we find our identity in you. God, remind us of that right now, that our identity is found in you. You make us right with you. You fill our lives with good things. You take the other things, Lord, and you make them all for your purposes in our lives. We just thank you, God. So I'm going to ask you out there, heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. We need Jesus in our life. Jesus is what brings us that joy. Maybe you're out there this morning and you say, "I don't have that. I've got a lot of anxiety. I've got a lot of worry." Maybe you're missing Jesus. Jesus is the best part of your life. He is what brings the joy into your life. And so I'm going to ask you real quick. I'm not going to embarrass you or anything. I'm going to ask you, maybe this morning you say, "I need Jesus in my life. He's not there, but I want him there. I want that joy because I don't have it right now." If that's you, I'm going to ask you, just put your hand up real quick and just put it right down. I'm going to ask somebody to look around, okay? Hands going up. I need Jesus. I don't have Jesus, but I want Jesus because I need the joy that only God can give us. Anybody else? That's it. And so we're going to say a prayer together. It's a prayer to ask Jesus into our lives. Those of us that have prayed it before, we're going to pray it like it's all brand new again, because he does. He brings joy every day. We all have ups and downs along the way. Let's say this prayer together. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for putting joy in my life. You are the joy of my life. I ask you now, come and live in my life. Be the best part of my life. I put my trust in you. I make you the Lord of my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Help me live for you for all of my days with joy, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. If you said that prayer this morning for the first time, I'm going to ask you to come see me at the end of service, or come see one of the other members of our team, and just let them know you made that decision this morning for the first time. We're going to be praying for you. We're praying that God would just let that grow. Let that joy within you grow because of what that decision was part of for you. One of the verses, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, to give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And so I would be remiss if I sat here and didn't pray. We all are facing things. We all have things that we each deal with and looking at, and things that can bring anxiety and crowd out the joy. And so I'm going to take a moment to just pray with you guys with joy. I will tell you, our prayer team is going to be here at the end. And so maybe you're there and you say, man, I'm facing some heavy times. We all in our world, I'm thinking about, we are just a few weeks away from election. We begin, oh, what's going to happen? I will tell you, remind you, God is in control. God isn't worried. God is not worried. You and I may worry, but God says, fill it with joy, because God has everything in his hands. And so maybe you have something that's just been on your heart. Maybe something worrying you. And so our prayer team will be up here to pray with you at the end if you would like prayer for something specific. Maybe tell somebody about it. Let me know. We want to be praying for you, just like we put up the prayer request that we have during our worship time. Prayer matters. It matters that we're praying for one another, lifting each other up, pointing to the joy that only comes in God. Let me pray as I close. God, we just thank you. God, we thank you that we took a movie to illustrate points, but God, your word points us very pointedly, God, that the joy is found by the strength that you give us. And God, I pray for every person here, God, maybe that came in with something on their heart. It may be worry, it may be anxiety, it may be just a thing that crosses their mind, making them wonder if they're good enough or whether they're doing the right things. But God, I pray that you would encourage people here this morning. God, let us leave here knowing that because of you, God, you make us right with you. We're not good enough on our own, but because of you in our lives, we are good enough. And so, Father, I pray you watch over us as we head home. Give us safe travel. Let's have a great time, a meal together, sharing with others. And God, let us remember to keep joy front and center, because that's what you meant for us, God. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. We all said together, amen.